This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yo, I've got an expectation for this morning. this morning, the guys start praying at 7:30. They start praying next door in the youth center. I normally arrive a little bit later, just after 8 or so. Been up praying at home. But when I walked into the youth center this morning, I was like, oh my word. There's a presence of God in this place that I have not experienced in any of our... It was incredible. Like I was walking into something tangible. So anyway, so I feel God wants to really do something incredible in us this morning. So I want to encourage you to open your heart. And we're going to go a few places that might be... a little bit awkward, but for those who are new to the game. But I want to expose you to I'm going to share a few stories to expose you to the realities of the spirit realm. And the series that we're currently doing is being invited to more. You are invited to the more. And we're looking at the book of Ephesians, and it's an incredible book. And every part of it is like this invitation that God is saying, come. I have more for you. I wanna give you more of myself. I wanna give you more of my love. I wanna release more of my power into your life. I wanna pour out my goodness into you. And so the series that we're doing is all about how do we receive more. A few weeks ago I shared about the unity. If you want more of God, you need more unity. So God wants to knit our hearts together in prayer. And then the week after I spoke about, if you want more of God, you need to give. God, those who give, they receive. And I wasn't talking about money. I was talking about giving of ourselves, praying for others, blessing others. As we give, we receive more of God. And so this morning, I want to take it one step further. And it's very much connected to that part of giving of yourself to others. So I want to sketch this picture to you again. Okay, so imagine you are standing on a hilltop with Father God. Father God is showing you the promised land, and he's saying to you, go and conquer. Go and take it. Take your land. So you run down like, yes, it's all mine. I'm taking my land. And then you meet your first giant. You're like... And you run back up your hill, or you try another pot, and you hit another giant, and you're like, whoa, man. And then you run back to your hilltop again. And so it continues. And every time you hit a giant, it's like it stops you. It says, no, you can't go there. No, you can't go there. No, you can't go there. And in the end, what happens is you're back on your little hilltop, church on Sunday. And that's where you live, taking your land. Woo-woo! But there's nothing happening out there in the world. What is this giant is called intimidation. And this is one of the enemy's biggest schemes to keep us out of the more. The intimidation, fear about looking like a fool. Fear about, you know, the enemy wants to block you from living out your life. And so you could call it the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of looking foolish, the fear. But these fears are inhibiting us from taking our land, from fulfilling the will of God. And we all have them. But the truth is, you might see the giant. You say, yeah, but you are big. The truth is that it's not the giant that's the problem. It's the spirit that you are carrying within you that's the problem. Let me explain. I mean, when the guys and the Israelites, when they went to take out of Egypt, they went to take the promised land. There were 12 spies going out into the promised land, and they were spying out the land. Two of them said, we are well able. Let's take this, guys. I mean, they saw the giants. They saw the fortified cities, and they were like, no problem. We're going to take them down. Guys, we are well able. Why? Because they had a spirit within them, the spirit of sonship. The spirit, a spirit that you know who your God is and who you are in your God. So it's like, we're going to take them down. And the other 10 were were like, no ways, we can't do this. We won't be able to do this. This is, they're too big. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We are like small, and even in our own eyes. You see, the problem wasn't the outside. The problem was the inside. Come on, say inside. So they were carrying still their spirit of slavery. They were out of the land of slavery, but they still carried the spirit of slavery. And many of us are the same. Many of us, I'm thinking of my own journey. You know, when you grow up, even at school, I'm seeing it even with Vian at the primary school, our son at primary school, there's so much peer pressure. You it's like we are it ingrained in us to abide by the rules of others. They tell us what we can do and how we can do it. And we sort of get out onto our little hilltop there and like, okay, I can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. And I realized this in my own life. You know, I became a Christian at the age of 18, and I started to get involved in different areas of our church in Stellenbosch. And at some point, I was in the student council at university. I felt the Lord lead me to stand for the student council, but I was so out of my depth. I was such a broken individual on the inside. I had so much fear of man in my life. I was so afraid of being rejected. You know, when you have to like stand for a student council, you have to do three, what they call a circus, three times a day for 2 weeks. And you have to speak at different hostels and public places. So you have to persuade people to vote for you. Yes. It was challenging. And then I was the Christian guy. So they came for me. Man, they came for me. It was really, really challenging. So, and I remember that season of my life. It was horrible. You know, I remember this knot in my stomach. You know, this fear was just made a knot on my insides. You know, and looking back now, I realize the problem wasn't the people. The problem wasn't the public speaking. The problem wasn't trying to persuade people. The problem wasn't being criticized. The problem wasn't what was happening. The problem was on the inside of me. I had an orphan spirit. And an orphan is on his own. An orphan is insecure, spiritually speaking. An orphan is fighting for himself on the streets. A son knows who he is. A son is secure even when everybody else says, well, we don't like you. A son says, but I know the creator of heaven and earth, and he loves me. Who the heck cares what a person thinks? You know, but the transition from fear of man to freedom, to be able to do the will of God and say what you need to say and to love boldly without fear of rejection, that is quite a journey. It's been a 20-plus year journey for me. And I tell you, to be over here is amazing, to have the freedom. You know, when I started out preaching, the first 4 or 5 years of preaching, I couldn't eat before I would preach. So I would go without breakfast and, you know, really, really hungry around lunchtime. But I realized over time, the Lord came and he set me free. But you might think, when you have that insecurity, when you were afraid of speaking in front of people, when you're afraid of rejection, you might think, well, that's me. May I say to you, that's not you. It's the spirit you're carrying. It's the heart that hasn't been healed yet. It's the boldness that hasn't been developed yet. You see, if you want more of God, you need the spirit of sonship. You need boldness, which is sometimes called Godfidence. Not a God confidence, but a Godfidence. Not a self-confidence, a Godfidence. A confidence in who God is, a confidence in who you are in him. So I want to take you to a passage. We're going to go into Ephesians in a moment, but you know, when you look at the giant from an orphan spirit, you see a giant. When you look at the giant with a spirit of sonship, you see a mouse. small. But there's a real spirit battle where the enemy's trying to intimidate us to shut up. Don't talk about Jesus. Not in at work, not at school, not in public, not in church. Only certain things. You know, the enemy's trying to put us in a corner to intimidate us. It's time to break out. Amen. So I want to stir you this morning to break out of the bondage or the things that the enemy has put on you, the limitations that the enemy has put upon you. So last week, Friday night, we had youth, and there were, I think a grade 3-4 boy was there, and it was quite challenging. Young boy. I was like, man, you're freaking me out. And at some point, I was like, okay, no, screaming, it's not going to help. So I tried something else. I'm like, sat him down, like, you have so much potential. And he was like, very adamant, no, I don't. I was shocked. Do you know how many of us are the same? We might not say it so clearly, but on the inside, we think, it's for others. Speaking in front of people, that's definitely for others. Talking to others about Jesus, man, I'm just, that's not me. We do the same. We think the great things are for others, and the enemy has put us in that corner. A giant spirit, it's intimidating the life out of us, and we've fallen for it. And I want to cut the giant's head off in Jesus' name. There's freedom. There's freedom, but we need to shift the spirit that we are carrying within us. Okay, so let's look at this. Acts chapter 4, just to set the stage concerning intimidation and the enemy intimidating us. It says, now this is the apostles, this is the original revival in the book of Acts. And Peter and John went to the temple. There was a guy 40 years lame. From birth, he was lame. Couldn't walk. And then Peter said, look at me. And he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Get up and walk. Man, guy jumps up, dancing, shouting. Scores of people were mightily impacted by this miracle. And then the spirit of intimidation came. And it came in the form of the religious leaders. So the religious leaders, they sort of they got the soldiers out to grab them, and they brought them. And it says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Come on, say boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Uneducated, untrained, not in the ways of the religious guys. They marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They realize they've been with Jesus. Something happened there. And then it says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Because they're messing up our wonderful organized setup. They're messing with our turf. What shall we do? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. And that's the power of a real miracle. It cannot be denied. 40 years begging at the temple entrance. Now, people knew the guy. We cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They commanded them not to speak. Not to speak. So many of us think, if I just live a good life, East London will be changed. It's not biblical, people. The enemy wants to shut you up. He wants to keep you from testifying of the goodness of God. And then they later tell the guys, well, now, should we listen to man or should we listen to God? You decide. Obviously, listen to God. But the enemy's scheme is to intimidate. Let's threaten them. How does he threaten? With, you're going to look stupid. You're going to look like an idiot. You know, they're going to reject you. So there's a spirit dynamic of trying to shut us up. So I was reading this book by Reinhard Bonnke. He's a German evangelist who's in one meeting, he received a prophetic word in 1980s that in one meeting he would lead 1 million people to Christ. One meeting. In the year 2000, 1.7 million people were in the meeting in Nigeria, and 1 million something people filled out decision cards for Christ. Now, people, that's huge. But this guy, I've been reading his life story, and I'm so inspired because he would get these opportunities. He receives a prophetic word. The Lord's going to bring you before kings and leaders of nations. And he hasn't had until that moment, middle 80s, and suddenly doors start opening into parliaments all across the African continent. And he'd get an opportunity, invited by the president, to speak to whole parliament, all the ministers. So what does he do? He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when he's like, well, what should I do now, Lord, after preaching the gospel? Should I do an altar call? And then he just hears these words, altar call, not protocol. He would hear that over and over again. So he would challenge the whole of parliament, who's going to commit to Christ right now? Raise your hand. And then hundreds of MPs would turn to Christ. And then he would, follow up with it. Incredible, incredible how he would just say, I'm not going to follow man's way. Man says, no, you're not allowed to talk about Jesus at school. Well, Jesus says, talk about Jesus wherever you are. Altar call, not protocol. Anyone says, oh, don't be so, don't ask people to choose for God. No, well, all across the Bible, over and over again, it says, I hold before you life or death, choose. Me, my house, we will serve the Lord. But you need to decide. Who are you going to serve? And so this is our role. We need to speak. We need to share. We need to tell people about what God is doing and give them an opportunity to turn to Christ. Because the enemy is trying to shut us up. So Reinhard shares as well, this one time he was in Johannesburg in the 80s, I think it was. And he was having a breakfast with 200 plus pastors. So he shares about the ministry because he wants them to invest in the ministry. And at some point, he's like, Holy Spirit says to him, make an altar call. He's like, they're pastors. They should know Jesus. So he's like, well, I'm just going to obey God. So he makes an altar call. So everybody close your eyes. And then basically, there's an altar call. Who, if you need to commit your life to Christ today, raise your hand. And then all the pastors with their eyes closed, they're like hearing Reinhard say, thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. They're like, who the heck is that? They're church leaders. And then Reinhard called everybody forward, and it was 17 waiters in the hotel that came forward and committed their lives to Christ. And the one young man, he's been cutting himself, and he was suicidal. He wanted to take his life. And in that day, he committed his life to Christ, and his life radically transformed. Because somebody doesn't know Jesus, and we have the best news ever. Do you know what is real Godfidence? It is to know that everybody wants Jesus. They just don't know it yet. They just don't know it yet. Eh? Remember when you were not a Christian? I was one of them. I didn't know God is this amazing. I didn't know that He's so loving. I didn't know who Jesus really is. I got dead religion. So man, yes, I want to run away from dead religion. But the enemy wants to shut us up. And I see this with Reinhard Bonnke. He's got such boldness. If you want more of God, you need boldness. And if you want more boldness, you need to have a spirit of sonship and be set free from the orphan spirit. Your heart needs to be healed. You need to encounter the love of the Father. And you need to step into this different dimension. So if you're carrying an orphan spirit, the orphan spirit does a few things. The orphan spirit distorts the image of God. So when you look at it from an orphan perspective, your Heavenly Father is angry and demanding and like merciless, you know. It's like if you make the smallest little mistakes, it's like, oh, I'm in so trouble. I'm such trouble. God is so angry with me. Now, who's ever felt like that? Like, ah, oh, man, God is so angry. I've stuffed up now. Man, He is so angry. It's forbade. It's klar. That where you stepped over the line, boy. It's klar. It's for bay. Game over. You've sinned too much. That's not God. He forgives again, and He forgives again, and He forgives again, and He forgives again. Sin stuffs you up, yes, but He still loves you. And He says, man, let me heal you. Let me restore you. Do you know what is Godfidence? Godfidence is to have more faith in the blood of Jesus Christ than the power of sin. more faith in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us than the power of sin to destroy us. Confidence is to have more faith in God who's able to carry us and keep us than in the enemy to deceive us. Because if we have too much faith in the enemy, we're gonna hold back. We're gonna be afraid. Whoa, 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 whoa. Confidence. Confidence is a confidence in who God is, your Father is, that He's for you and with you. Sonship is to know I am the Father's favorite son. I often joke about it, but you are too. Favorite daughter. You are too if you believe it. So, but it distorts this image of Father God. It's a filter through which we look at God and then at life and ourselves. The orphan spirit will cause you to not trust others, not trust leaders, you know, afraid to get hurt. Someone asked me a while ago, I can't remember who it was, how do you do this? After everything you've been through, you still love people and you still trust people. And I'm like, yes, because I have a loving Father who restores me every time when there's a disappointment. And I choose again to love. If you have the orphan spirit, you will begin to compete in a bad way with our brothers and sisters in Christ, like comparing yourselves to others. Oh, why? Oh, he got that blessing. What about me? You know, the orphan spirit is that poverty mentality. Oh, there's not enough. There's only 10 rand in dad's pocket. And he's got 2 rand. He's got 5 rand. There's only 2 rand left. No. Unlimited pockets. He's the Father, the creator of heaven and earth is unlimited. The orphan spirit will always look at there's a lack. Sonship is like, man, there's an abundance. More than enough destinies, more than enough options, more than enough resources, more than enough blessings. The spirit of sonship is, man, let's do this. Godfidence is to have more faith in God's ability to break through than in the enemy's ability to keep us back or people's ability to keep back the kingdom of God. It's called Godfidence. You know, when you have orphan spirit, it's like you become a spiritual scavenger. You're like, you have your little bits. They are not little bits. There's unlimited. Come on, say it. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. God's resources are unlimited. There is no lack to what He can do. You know, and when we get into leadership and we have an orphan spirit on the inside of us, we will find ourselves controlling, becoming controlling. As a parent, you find yourself becoming controlling because you're afraid. You're afraid something's going to go wrong, so you're going to get control. You're going to do it. Oh, like I want it. You know, and it might last while they're under your roof, but when they leave the house, it's carnage. A son that is a leader or a parent has his faith in the living God to change people from the inside. No, we don't control people on the outside. It doesn't produce fruit. Change from the inside. Child must be changed from the inside. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a child's heart, they change. They don't do the teenage rebellion nonsense. But that you need to keep it there. You need to keep that change from the inside. So I was awesome with the Ignite ministry, the prayer ministry, especially on Sunday mornings. You know, last week when Werner Hubert was here, we came in around just after eight. We walked in there and they've been praying since, 7:30 or so. And, you know, about 3 years ago, when we had a prayer meeting in this church, it was me praying. And me like, can someone please pray? Can someone else please pray? Can someone please pray? Pray! Now I come to the prayer meeting, I'm like, can someone please give me a gap to pray? It's amazing. God is real. I want to commend the Ignite team. You guys are doing an amazing job. You don't need me. You don't need me to baptize people, to pray for people. You have everything within you. Do it. Step out. This church is about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. You can do this. Orphans achieve nothing and receive nothing. Sons achieve much and receive much. When I say sons, I'm meaning daughters as well. The Bible just speaks about sons. It's not about gender. It's about your identity in God. So we need to get that orphan spirit out. Okay, so let's look at the spirit of sonship. Ephesians 1 verse 1 to 2. And this is sort of just phenomenal. So it says that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He's writing this himself. I am Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's the Son. That's the Son. He knows who he is. He knows who's called him. And he's going to do it. And it says to the saints, not the sinners, horrible, pathetic church people. No, the saints, the people with unlimited potential, because Jesus lives on the inside of them. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the confidence where he says, man, I know who I am. I am called up by the will of God. If you read the rest of Ephesians, it's like everything is like, and God did this. Before time began, he chose you. Before time began, he called you. And then he purified you and made you holy. And he washed you by his precious blood. He redeemed you by his Son on the cross. It's like God did it all. That's confidence. I don't have faith in my own works. I have faith in God's works. And what he has done for me. And now I can just receive it. All the riches of heaven, I can just receive it. That is confidence. I have more confidence in God's love to disarm people than in hatred to cause people to take up arms. I have more faith in God's love to disarm people than the enemy to stir up hatred. You see, it's a positioning where the giants are reduced to a mouse. Come on, say mouse. That's how big the giants are in your life. Some mouses need to be squished. The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. The spirit of sonship is a new filter where every giant becomes a mouse. You know, I've been hearing this from the Holy Spirit that as a church, we need to start reaching out outside of these four walls. That's why we started now. The first week of every month is our Ignite the City week. So well done for those who've done those prayer walks and who've prayed and joined us at the hospital. It was amazing. And some beautiful God encounters that happened. So so we're going to do it again the first Sunday of the next month. We're going to clap it again. So it was interesting. One story, some of the ladies went to, I think it was the kids ward at the hospital, Freya Hospital. And there was a boy there with some form of epilepsy. So he had epilepsy and he was taken to a Sangoma when he was younger. And after going to the Sangoma, now he has epilepsy. It was interesting. Now when the few people, when they came to this young boy, he started to manifest again, the whatever. And then something else spoke through him and said, I know who you are. Interesting. Which is quite cool. I'm going to share a few more stories of that. But I've been feeling the Lord has been saying to me, I need to start stepping out. So I met with a pastor this week. We're going to start end of January next year. We're going to have a six-day evangelistic crusade in Cambridge in the squatter area. And I will be the evangelist that will be preaching the word of God for six nights. We're going to trust to rock that community in Jesus' name. But I'm feeling the Lord is saying it's time for us to step out and believe in who he is. So we're also going to start next year missions teams. We want to encourage you to join. We're going to sign up in November. We get an opportunity to sign up to do a short-term missions team trip like that week in Cambridge or a weekend away at one of our shofar churches. We want to take the Amplified Youth Group to the Transkei, to Henk Kleinschmidt's ministry in the Transkei. So we want to take 20 young people and the leaders into the Transkei for 5 days so that young people can discover that Jesus is powerful through them. Amen. So it feels time for us to step out. I promise you, you might be terrified. You've never seen a miracle in your life. You've never prayed for anybody that anything's happened. I promise you, if you would position yourself in the right place, in the Spirit, and you would, despite your fear, despite all the stuff that might be holding you back, you step and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out. I'm going to be part of a missions trip, missions team, and I'm going to pray for the sick. I promise you, you're going to see miracles. I promise you. Every team that goes out, we see miracles through the ordinary members because Jesus lives on the inside of them. Amen. Okay, so I want to encourage you to join us for that. So then it continues, Ephesians 1 verse 18. We're speaking about the spirit of sonship compared to of the orphan spirit. Now, sonship is that boldness to step into what God is saying about you. Now, it says there, now Paul prays. He says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. I'm praying for you that the light of God would illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Come on, say faith. Immeasurable, not a little bit, immeasurable power made available to you by faith. Simply by faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Now this is beautiful. Do you want to take back to the first verse there? It says, verse 18, I pray that the light of God, and then it goes further and it says, that you might experience the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. In other words, you are God's wonderful inheritance. You are his highest prize. You are his ultimate passion. You need to understand this. You know, sometimes people say, oh, God doesn't need us. True, but he loves us. He loves us. I mean, imagine for a moment a son, a child in hospital. Imagine your child sick in hospital. An earthly father, what wouldn't you do to have your son get well? What wouldn't you give? Would you stop at 100,000 rand? Would you stop at selling your possessions? Where would you stop? A loving father would give his everything to have his son made well. Agreed? In the same way, our world became messed up and darkness entered many, many hearts. We are born in sin. We are born in darkness. And the orphan spirit came in to us. Blinding the heart, blinding the mind, blinding our thinking. We can no longer see God. We just want to run away. The orphan spirit wants to run away from God. And so God the Father made a way. He gave. God so loved the world that he gave his best, his everything. His son, Jesus Christ, was his everything. He gave so that you and I can be set free. Amen. You are his prize. You need to know that. You are his highest prize. He loves you more than you can imagine. Come on, let's say it. I am loved. More than I can imagine. Come on, let it sink into your spirit. You need to understand this. Every now and again, I get this revelation. I'm like, I'm not just joking now. I am God's favorite son. You know, it's like, I really believe it now. When I see again, wow, God, you are doing so many awesome things. And then I feel so humbled because I realize I don't deserve this. I haven't earned this. I haven't worked hard enough for it. You know, you can't fast long enough to earn the love of God. You can't give enough to earn the love of God. You can't. All you can do is to receive it by faith. Thank you, Dad. You love me so much. I receive it. And then when you receive it, then you start giving it away because he gave it to you for free. So I want to share a story that might be challenging for some of us, but I want to illustrate the reality of the spirit realm. You know, even as we share stories about miracles, about people being physically healed, there's a real demonic realm. And that orphan spirit comes and sometimes dwells within people. And so we prayed for a lady a while ago, and she came to us and said to me, would you please pray for me? I have some demons. I'm like, you're probably meaning you have issues. Not really demons. But anyway, so we prayed for her, and I asked permission to share this. So it was an extreme, this is an extreme example, this is not normal, okay? So anyway, so within starting to pray for her, suddenly it was no longer her, but there was somebody else here. There was another entity, another being speaking through her. And this entity was trying to intimidate the life out of us. Okay, now you must understand, if you ever watched a horror movie, it is advertising from the devil. It's false advertising. He's not a giant, he's a mouse. He's not big, he's small. He's been defeated through Jesus Christ. So we're not afraid. But you need to understand that the spirit realm is real, and there's a real battle, and there are real evil spirits trying to intimidate you. So anyway, so we were praying for her. At some point, she fell over or so, about 20 minutes in of praying, and then suddenly she was like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? For the whole 20 minutes, she wasn't present. The other spirit, so she remembers nothing. So what happens often with her is that she shares it as follows, and this is powerful. She says, even when she goes at home at night and she's tired, then she would take a back seat and the other spirit would take the front. So she would go back inside and then she would remember nothing, and the other spirit would take over completely for an hour or longer. Interesting. So anyway, so now we're praying for her, and at some point, now the spirit is speaking, and so in the name of Jesus, leave now. And then the demonic spirit said, you didn't think it's going to be that easy, did you? That was quite fun. I enjoy this. So we were continuing, and so a lot of mocking. Like, some point also, your little prayer is not going to make any difference. But it was amazing when we prayed for her. Then after that, spirit said, "Oh, you didn't really think it's going to be that easy, did you?" Then the Holy Spirit started to give us words of knowledge for us who were praying for her. Like, we supernaturally, God, Holy Spirit revealed things to us so that we could get to the root. You see, the enemy is like a lawyer, an attorney. It's a legal battle. He gets legal access in, and we need to remove the legal access so we can get him out. Okay? So the one lady was praying with us, had this word, and asked this question. Did you have an imaginary friend when you were a child? And then she said, yes. So at the age of 7, 8, around there, challenging circumstances, then this spirit came to her, saying to her, I am the spirit of a girl that died at a young age. And I am here to protect you and help you. So from that age, she had this relationship with a spirit that was her protector, but it was a demonic spirit masquerading as a spirit to help. So now we continue with the process, and then the Holy Spirit reveals us things that were done in the past, sinful moments that gave the enemy legal access, and man, then to And the spirit started to have a good skrik. You see, we are called to torment evil, not to be tormented by evil. So we're going through this process. Holy Spirit starts revealing things to us. And so we just led it through a process of forgiveness. Father, I forgive this. And I apologize, repent of this. Forgive me this for what I've done there. And we went through that whole process. Now, this is the really powerful thing I want to get to. That verse speaks about, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. But this picture of light and the shining light. So it was amazing to ask her afterwards, what did you experience? Because she doesn't remember anything. All she remembers is standing at a door during this about an hour process, and she opened the door, and then there was more light. Then she walked forward to the next door, and she opened the door, and then there was more light. And then she went to the next door and opened the door, and there was more light, until the last one was this overwhelming glory. And then the demon screamed and left, because we didn't handle the glory of God. And then she says, it was amazing. She says it was outside of her body, and she was looking at herself, and she could see the demon crawling out of her and saying the following words, I've had enough. And then he left. Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a hand for that. Now I'm sharing this because I know for some of this is like really freaky. You know, all I can say is the giant is a mouse. He's a mouse with a microphone. That's what the devil is. He's a mouse with a microphone. I am so scary. And he is not. He's terrified of the light. And we have the light on the inside of us. And what I'm sharing this is because I want to reveal to you there's a real spirit battle for you, for your heart, for your confidence, for your faith, for your identity. And the enemy's whispering the whole time, you're useless, you can't do it, it's not for you, do you really think God's going to be there for you? You know, the one time the Spirit said, yeah, Jesus is King. I'm saying, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to submit. And he said, yes, Jesus is King of Kings, but he's not going to help you today. I'm going to say to you, our God is powerful. The spirit realm is real. And the Lord is calling you and me into the fullness of his Holy Spirit. And then it brings freedom to people. It breaks chains. I'm sharing this with you because I want God to set you free. If you want freedom, also at our Encounter 4, we especially equip you in terms of the reality of the spirit realm. The Lord wants to set you free. Now, there are two things that's very important to understand. You can know the power of God. It speaks in that verse well, but the immeasurable power of God. And it's unlimited available for you. Now, power is like you're a surfer. There's a wave coming and you catch the wave. It's like you feel the Holy Spirit say, pray for that person. You feel the presence of God and it's amazing. And so you pray for the person and the power of God comes. Now, authority is something different. You're sitting on your board in amongst the waves. There are no waves coming. Nothing happening. No waves. Authority is to start a wave. Authority, when you know, when you have Godfidence, it's like, I'm not feeling the presence of God. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not hearing his voice, but I know who he is. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's powerful. Lord, let your kingdom come. As I felt at the youth about 2 weeks ago, I was super distracted. Some of the kids were really, really distracted. I was not feeling the presence of God. And I was talking about the healing spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And I felt nothing. But I'm like, when are we going to pray for the sick? And then about five of them were physically healed. And two of them were in motorcycle accidents. And the Lord powerfully healed them and restored their bodies. I didn't feel anything. So I started a wave. The Lord has called you to start a wave. That's sonship. That's Godfidence. I'm going to start a wave. Smith Wigglesworth said, if the Spirit isn't moving, I move the Spirit. Eh? It looks arrogant, but that's confidence. That's a God confidence. So I believe the Lord wants to set you free today. He wants to release boldness into you. And I end off with this last verse. If you can go to that, Acts 4:24, which catching up there with the apostles again, they were just threatened. It says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. They're like, guys, we're being threatened by the government. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They started with God, you are amazing. You are glorious. You're powerful. You made the heavens and the earth. There's no one like you, God. There's no one like you, God. The enemy wants to reduce you, but you cannot be reduced. You are massive. And then it says, verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Isn't that amazing? They're being threatened. Their prayer is now, Lord, give us boldness to speak. Come on, say boldness to speak. Boldness to speak. That we may speak your word. And by stretching out your hand to heal. You know, it's not like God's going to stretch out his hand from heaven and we do nothing. No, you need to stretch forth your hand and pray for somebody that's sick. If you want to see God, Jesus stretch forth his hand. And then it says, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Signs and wonders. In the midst of being threatened, they say, Lord, let's up the ante. Let's do boldness. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's testify of his goodness. Let's pray for the sick. Lord, let's command in the name of Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God to come. And then it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. God was so excited about this prayer that the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken. They prayed. The place was shaken. The Lord poured out his Holy Spirit upon them and they spoke the word of God with boldness and the revival went forth powerfully. The spirit of sonship was poured out upon them. At Encounter 1, we pray for people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, your body is like an avatar. Who's seen the movie Avatar? Your body is like an avatar. Come on, quickly, hold forth your hand. Look at your hand. Close your hand. Wow. That's impressive. So there are a message being sent from your soul through your brain to your hand to say close. You're controlling it. If the nerve gets cut off, that's not going to close. Your body is a biological machine more complex than anything this world has ever seen. More than a trillion cells in your body. It's incredible. But your body is just a house. It's just a house. When someone dies, the spirit moves on. The soul moves on. There is no one's controlling the avatar anymore. The soul has moved on. The real you is on the inside. You're looking at me through your eyes right now. The eyes are the windows of your soul. You're looking at me and your mind is saying to your body, do this, etc. When the body ceases living, the soul and spirit must move on. Question is, where will it go? Heaven or hell? Hell is an eternity separated from God. Now there's this fight concerning your body. Who's going to live on the inside of you? Your spirit and the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. Holy Spirit empowers you. Holy Spirit gives you peace and joy and freedom. Or your spirit and another spirit that wants to torment you and tell you how terrible you are and mess up your life and increase your addictions to whatever it might be. If you're battling with pornography, you could have a spirit that magnifies your addiction to pornography. Or you're battling with alcohol, it could be a spirit that amplifies your problem with alcohol. Or if you've got a weak self-image, it might be a spirit that comes and amplifies that and hammers you on that to torment you. But I have good news. Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come to set us free. So you see in the Bible, Jesus went around and it says in Acts chapter 10, ending off with this, in Acts chapter 10, it says, and the Lord who anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who are oppressed of the devil. God wants to set you free. All I can say is, do not be afraid of the enemy. The Lord wants to empower you to set you free and then through you set others free. Amen. Worship team, join us here. We want to pray for a few people. But the Lord wants to establish a spirit of boldness or confidence in each of us. Come on, say Godfidence. What does Godfidence look like? Godfidence is you walking to your workplace and you say, this is mine in the spirit. You're not the boss, but you take authority over that environment and say, this is my place. You walk to school, young people or teachers, and you say, this is my property. This is my land. I will not be intimidated. I will not be intimidated. I will not be silenced. I will not be put in a corner. I'm going to love others boldly and confidently. That's what God wants to do. He wants that boldness. East London belongs to Jesus. Amen. But you and I need to take our land. So again, beginning of next month, we're going to do prayer walks. I want to encourage you, do prayer walks. Take your land. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.